just to recap for those of you who pray for us, I'd ask you to continue to do that. We've been in the work now full time for 10 years, and it's prospering. It's gone from strength to strength. This year alone, we've got 44 missions. That's full missions, 5-day missions, stroke Bible clubs with children and young people, especially children, and they're all over the province. Over half of them are in public schools, the whole school. So we've done 5 of them so far. And the week after next, they're going to be every single week right through till like the middle of the end of September. So do cover your prayers as we go around the country in a little red van all over the country, reaching and preaching the gospel, the good news. We do live in the day of opportunity. We're going to speak tonight on the challenges we face in reaching the rising generation. There are many challenges, and lots of Christians are giving up. They said the challenges are too great, there's too much threat, too much pressure, too many disappointments, too many difficulties, too many problems, and all those things, and they hang the shoes up, and they throw the towel in, and they give up. But for me, in the Christian life, and I trust for you too, in the Christian life, quitting is never an option in the Christian life. We must motor on, keep marching on, and God is with us, and the Lord is on our side to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Please, Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to say just 2 things. What does society say about this? And then what does the scripture say about this? And it is a Bible study, so it's really quite exciting as we will go through the scriptures. It's amazing the more you get into a subject that there's just so much in it. So if you take notes, I'm going to give you some references you can take down. If you can't remember what Deuteronomy is, just for my own reference, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy, yep. You'll be able to find it. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm actually writing a daily devotional book. I've only 22 pages to go, and we've done a whole book on the New Testament. I see when you get into character, I know so much about Moses and Joshua and all those people. When I get to heaven, I'm going to sit beside him, and I'm going to know all about him. It's the truth. See when you get into a character, it's so real and so relevant. If he was here tonight, he'd be brave age to start with. He probably wouldn't be let in. But see, when you study someone in the Bible, you can learn so much. He's probably outside. You can learn so much about them. And even though these characters are like 6,000 years old, it's wonderful how so much in common we have with them. Even though we live in such an advanced age, these people were just, I was going to say, ate bread and butter. Don't even know if they had butter then. But they were just common blokes, common girls, just like we are today. And it's just wonderful. Let's just pray as we ask the Lord for his help. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks tonight as we come to Lestuder. We'll thank you, Lord, for this band of young people who faithfully give up their time. Each time there's a meeting on to come with that desire in their hearts to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Lord, will you bless us tonight? Will you bless everyone gathered? And Lord, speak to us and challenge us and help us to go away. Different people really going on with God. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want to read this just from, well, I'm not going to read it, just a little bit, the first 7 verses. Of course, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, were written by Moses. Moses has come right to the end of his life's journey. He's handing over the reins. For 40 years, he's been wanting to see the promised land, but because of disobedience, God says, you will not see the promised land, you will view it. And he's speaking now to, giving a charge to Joshua, and also challenging the people how they must follow and stay true to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32, first 7 verses. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, and his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now, just like so many today, this is Moses speaking. There's about 2 million of these people, the Israelites, traveling here. And so often they rebelled against God, against Moses, against his authority. And Moses goes on to say, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not like the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye foolish requite the Lord, O foolish people? and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee, hath not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Two verses there, verse 5. We could say this is like so many today, because they have corrupted themselves. Now we want to take ourselves out of the context of being in a church environment and walk into the streets of Crossgar or Ballinahinch or Belfast and just imagine people your age are, people who are not saved, people who have not been brought up in church, on a Saturday night at this time, where are they and where are they preparing to go? A generation who knows not God. A sea of people tonight, I don't believe for one moment we're saved just to get a free ticket to heaven, but we're saved for a purpose. God has an individual purpose for every one of his children's lives. And those people out there tonight are starved of the truth because there's nobody there to tell them or to show them the way. Moses is describing some people here. He says they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not like the spot of his children. You can imagine what God's children are like and what the children of wrath or the children of the devil are like. They look the same, but they're different because their hearts have never been cleansed. We could easily say they are a perverse and crooked generation. Then, of course, the other contrast is when you try to reach these people, try to do things, then you meet with the elders of the church or with other Christians in the church, and they will say, remember the days of old, when it was good in the early days of the church, when all these things happened. They keep going back to the early days. That's good to remember that. But for us, the challenge is not to look back, but to look forward and to go forward, reaching the 50 years ago, the kids today weren't born. 40-year-olds today weren't born 50 years ago. The challenge today is we must look forward how we can reach these people. Remember the days of old. Consider the ways of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, the elders, and they will tell thee. I love to talk to older people, older Christian people, and they will tell you what it was like when the blessing of God came down and missions were bunged with people and you were just wondering, who is going to get saved tonight? Are these days gone? We often think if we have a youth mission or a special youth meeting, will the youth of the whole area come to hear the word of God? People will lament and say those days are gone, they don't happen anymore, and they probably won't happen again. In the Bible it says, I am the Lord, I change not. God doesn't change. He never will change, and it's his will that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the problem must be with the people and their unbelief. That was a problem with the children of Israel. That's why it took them 40 years to make that journey, because of their constant and continuing unbelief. And going through, that's why it took them so long to see what they were going to look at in the promised land. But there's so many temptations and distractions for young people today. There's no point in lamenting over these things. This is fact. But it hasn't really changed, because if you read on down in verse of chapter 32, this time at the end, verse 16 through 20, it says they provoked God, or provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations, provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed, you think, sometimes we can think the youth of today is terrible, but they're really not that bad. If you get right into the hearts of these young people, we often think of the Apostle Paul. Where did the disciples, the apostles, talk to the people? They went down to the marketplaces. We think we don't have marketplaces today. We do. Our shopping malls are marketplaces, only a little bit more advanced with windows. That's the only difference, because we have got lots of rain, keeps people dry. Can we not go down into the shopping market, the markets, and talk to these people? Young people are just crying out. Young people are dying, dropping into hell every single day. And you know what the problem is sometimes? There's nobody there to talk to them. Nobody to say, hi, are you? Nobody to say, do you want someone to talk to? Young people today are so depressed because they've tried everything. They've tried their broken cisterns and they're just broken. They're cold at heart, they're depressed and all these things, and it's just driving them insane and it's driving them to death's door. The apostles went right to the marketplace to speak with the people. Youth today, if they don't come in, God's word doesn't say for once they are going to come in, but he's commanded us time and time again, we've got to go out and reach these people where they're at. I'm not saying going into the pubs and clubs, of course not, they don't spend all day in there, but they do play football, they do walk the streets, they do meet in the housing estates and the grasses. We just bought bought those pop-up things to put up in a grass area. You pop one up and the young people wonder what's going on in there, and they come right into it like a light, and then you just gather around, you start chatting to them. Go to where the young people are at and find out where they're at in their heart, and you'll find out and you'll know where they're at. But look what it says here in verse 17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that come newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. So in a nutshell, we could say the youth of today, unless they're saved, are a children without faith. A young people, a generation who know not God, a generation with no faith. We have the faith if we're saved tonight. We have that faith. Therefore, it's our responsibility to take it out to the young people so they can hear as well. We're also, it's a different subject, but we're challenged so often. Whenever the Lord saves a person, everyone we come in contact with, I believe we will be responsible for that person. It's called blood guiltiness. We must warn them and tell them, or we will be responsible for the very blood and for the very person. That's why we got to tell them at every cost. Now let's say what society says about young people today, about the temptations and distractions. I was reading a wee survey out of 1,000, I guess it was in UK or probably just England, out of 1,000 young people, I think 18-year-olds at first year of university, 1,000 went through a survey in the last month. 14% sniffed glue. 11% had taken strong drugs like marijuana. 81% of them have drunk alcohol within the last 30 days. 81%, that's 810 people. 50% of them had never once prayed in their life. 1,000 young people, 500 had never once prayed in their life. Whosoever shall call, pray, talk to the Lord shall be saved. So multitudes, millions of young people right across the UK, the land where the open Bible was the secret of our greatness, are perishing today because they know nothing. They're ignorant, if you like, of God's love and God's wonderful law. What's the problem then we face every day? Why are so many workers, Sunday schools closing down, youth meetings closing down, parents within the denomination that I belong to, most of you too, the Free Presbyterian Church, constantly. Parents who bring their children up on Sunday school, their children are addicted to drugs, they're taking overdose, they're committing suicide. This is not out in the world, this is brought right into the church. And every single month, every single year, this is happening. Why are marriages breaking up in the church? We're not talking about the world, we're still in the church. So if that's what it's like in the church with our families and young people, step outside the door into the street. What's it like there? We think the times are hard in the Bible. There's no difference. Man's heart is exactly the same. We think of the three enemies of the Christian: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, the world and the flesh are the enemy of the world as well. The devil's not really their enemy because they belong to the devil and the devil's army. You think of the gates: the eye gate, the ear gate, the heart gate, the feeling gate. All these things are challenging the young people every day. Technology, continually changing, it preoccupies our mind. Children today, the moment they get into the car, they want to see what's in the back of the car. What do you call those things? TVs? I don't even know what you call them. But they need to have a phone. They need to have this here. They need to get home. And all of a sudden, everything is technology. I was looking after my nephew and my niece last night, and the parents gave me two big bags of toys. I said, what are they for? My toys are better than those. No, you'll need them. She says, 10 minutes with the toys, they'll start to shake. The toys never left the boot, you must be joking. But that's why they feel they need all these wee gadgets and games. She's 3 years old, you got a wee laptop, pink one. 3 years old, I'm like, nearly forgot to give her back. 3 years old, and all of a sudden, they need all this technology. And I thought, wow, what's wrong? But then that's a challenge for me. I'll entertain him without any of those things. I went down to wee cafe to like a 3 out. Had a water fight. It was a nice day in Belfast. It was far from home, so it was okay. But that's the problem today, technology. But some people shut off. Technology is brilliant. Tap into it. It's so good. But the problem is technology is so addictive. Young people no longer can hardly communicate. What's your name?
George.
Not you, George. Just thought of a name. All of a sudden they need to have a phone. They need to have something in their hand. They can no longer... I don't know if they're now two people stand together on the wedding day to kiss each other, like, yes, okay, no, yes. I don't know how it's going to work. But that's the thing today. Addiction, it's amazing how young people, you all know yourself. Hands up, who's got a mobile phone? Most of you. If you left tonight without your mobile phone, would you go back for it? Yes, you would. If you only went a minute down the road. We all, it's just the way technology is going. The games, the phones, the music, the film, the internet, social network. Who's on Facebook? All of you apart from Stephen. That's okay. Are you on it?
No.
No. Good man. That's okay. All these things are all good, but they can become so, so addictive. Now, it gets more serious than that. These are general things most people, even Christians, can have, which is good. All this technology, it's really good in many ways. But then it goes to the extreme. The problem with young people today that becomes so difficult is all the drugs are so available, so addictive, so damaging to young people. Suicide is on the increase day, daily, monthly. I'm not talking about UK now, we're speaking about our own wee province, this wee country here. Suicide's happening. Smoking, alcohol, binge drinking, sexual activity. Years ago, it was never talked about it. Now it's common. You know what the high schools are putting in now? Special wee rooms that mothers can bring their children. These are 14-year-old mothers, of course, who are still at school doing their GCSEs. Special grants to encourage them to come along to school, bring your families with you. We'll look after the kids while you're in doing your geography and your maths. This is what's happening in the country. Violence, domestic violence. We were talking to a mother last night. She got two boys in the Free Presbyterian Church. Two boys, and they don't go to sleep all night. They sit up, computer games, and if she dares tell them to turn it off, they'll attack her. Brought up in Sunday school. And they're 14 years old. They're so angry, so depressed, so moody. I only thought it was girls who were moody. These are boys. Boys are moody too. Court, prison, all these things float around our young people every day. It's quite depressive. I know it's quite sad in many ways, but we must get beyond that there. Peer pressure is a terrible thing. The pressure young people are on today to survive, to succeed, to do well at school, at university, and employment, all these things. Bang. Then they lose their job, fail their exams, fail their marriage, fall out with the relationship, all these things. The world crashes around them. What do they do then? Suicidal tendencies, and that's often what happens to our young people. We could say that within society it's all gloom and doom, depressive and negative, but it's not, because then we have the word, and as Christians tonight, that's what we must think beyond it, and we must reach out beyond it. Don't be like the people who want to give up and close the door. The devil is having a field day in the church. He's making people go slow. Just go to church on Sunday, do nothing more. We've got to do everything we can. With the energy and enthusiasm that God gives you, use it for His glory. You know why? Because if God has something for you to do and you say, no, it's not for me, He'll take it from you and give it to somebody else. I'm convinced of that. He will do that. Every child and teen and young person especially, I don't need to tell you that. Listen to a mother whose son has just been died or killed for some reason. He's the best boy. He lived in that town. He was beautiful, he was kind, he was generous, he would never harm nobody. Of course, everyone is special in a mother's eyes and in God's eyes. So we must not give up. We must reach them at all cost. We must preach to them and win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not sit back and wait to see who will come to Christ. We must reach them however we can to do that. So the challenge then facing children and youth workers today, people say, oh, that access NI, we need to do that. What's the problem? Fill out a form and post it. That's what you do. What about child protection? Do a course. Takes 2 hours. Last year for a lifetime. I talked to school teachers. 8 years ago was the last time they ever done a course. It wasn't Donegal Road or Dairaki, but it was other schools. High schools. But if we're talking about church or youth work generally, these things put us off. Just do them. People say, what if... What if? take out insurance, public liability. People say to me, I don't know how you can do all that. I took out insurance. I flew to England to do a course. Every 3 years I do that. Keeps it right up to speed. No problem. You just do it and get on with it. It can often be a discouraging work trying to reach young people. That's why a lot of my missions and work is with children. See, when you go into high school and do an assembly, you feel like Stephen, they're about to stone you. Yeah. They're not really angry, they're just not morning people. They sit up too late at night. You speak 5 minutes, they're like. But see, we children, the primary school, P7's right down to P1, or P1 right up to P7, that's the way they stand, the wee ones and the big ones. You speak them for half an hour, 40 minutes, they're still looking more. Offend the life out of them and they go, oh right. They don't even catch on. It's brilliant. Wee ones. People think they're just children. They seem to forget they're not just children, they're just little adults. How quickly do children grow up? Just like that. See, when it's first year, second year, you look at them in the children's mission, and you'll hardly get them in the youth mission, and you'll hardly get them into church, and you'll hardly get them under the sound of God's word again. That's why they must be reached when they're young. And if any of you are involved in children's ministry or children's work, or a heart for that work, I would encourage you with all my heart to persevere on with it. It's the most rewarding work surely you can ever do. I think about with young people. Chris Killen, you all know Chris. Chris has a home down there in Annahilt. He poured all of his energy into this, especially this one young lad. So much potential. And that young lad, just like that, way back to Ballymena, way back to drugs. And that everything for him, just like that, it can be such a discouraging work, working with drug addicts and those sort of people. I want to turn over to just another mother who lives in Ballinahinch, brought a child up in the Christian school. He's 14, and he had him rushed to hospital on an overdose. 14 years of age, and that's what these young people are thinking about. And it's not everyone. It's Northern Ireland, and there's lots of it. But as Christians tonight, we've got to think outside the box. How can we reach this rising generation? We must reach them at all cost. But what saith the Scriptures? I came across this wee quote, "Me and God need to be in a good," or "God and me need to be in a good relationship." There's a lot of fundamental things that are very important for our own hearts. And I wonder tonight, are you and God in a good relationship? I'm not talking about you and the person sitting beside you. That's not really important. Because Stephen is beside me, but he doesn't eat my breakfast. But he knows better. Although I'd love to taste his. That's not important. But what's important if I'm in a good relationship with God? That's the most important thing you ought to think about every day. We're going to flick through these scriptures quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're not being selfish here, but it says here, Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 9, "Only take heed to thyself." Humanly speaking, you're the most important person around. If you don't brush your teeth and they fall out, that's your problem. Okay? My problem too. That's why I look after them. I wasn't going to stay a case with no teeth. It was very frustrating. But see, in the spiritual life, you must take heed of yourself. Your neighbour's not going to read your Bible and say, "The Lord bless you." You've got to read it for yourself. Your neighbour's not going to pray on your behalf. You've got to pray yourself. If you don't pray, we sing a course with the children. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. If you don't read your Bible and pray every day, you'll shrink. You must take heed of yourself. It's so, so important. It's fundamental. It's not selfish. And then it goes on to say, about teaching the children, how we must teach them and young people with reverence, with diligence, and with earnestness. We've got to reach them every 5 years as a new generation. It's not even 10 years anymore. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Talks about children, talks about young people, talks about the rising generation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, and verse 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That could be a father or mother with their own flesh and blood, but that could also be you. In every position you find yourself in life, whether you're walking the streets, whether you're lying down at night, when somebody comes into your heart that you've met that day, I believe you have to act. I think it was D.L. Moody said, he made a covenant before God, a promise, that he would speak to someone every day about Jesus Christ. He went to bed one night and he kept waking up, wondering what was wrong. He realized he hadn't witnessed. And God put someone on his heart. He just went out to walk the streets till he found an old drunkard. And he brought him home, sobered him up, and witnessed to him. And if you read the story, the man went on and got saved. Because the Lord really put it in his heart. So no matter what situation, if you lie down or stand up or sit down, whatever, when God's put something in your heart, go for it. And the Lord doesn't make life difficult for you. He gives you the very words to speak. And that's whenever you think of the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? It convicts of sin, it glorifies the Father, and it brings all things to remembrance. So whenever you go to witness to someone, you must remember you're not doing that in your own strength. God, the Holy Spirit, brings everything for you to say to that person. He makes it easy for you. God gives you the opportunity, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus is with you, and the Holy Spirit just gives you the words. He just uses you as an instrument. And if the Lord can use donkeys, remember Balaam? The donkey spoke to him. He said, daft, he never even noticed it was a donkey talking. The Lord can use a donkey, and he did, into Bethlehem in his mother's womb, on the way to the cross. It wasn't a big white stallion of a horse, or a big elephant. It was just a wee donkey. And I often take great comfort of the Lord can use a donkey. What can he do with me? Or you? Or anyone? He can do it with absolutely anyone. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy is a powerful, powerful book. Deuteronomy chapter 11 is another example. Whenever you go to think about all these things tonight, about the temptations, distractions, and the young people tonight, if you go out to do something for God, to speak or witness or win young people, your heart must be filled with God's word. You read all about, look at Genesis or Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 18 to 21. Lay these, my words, in your heart and in your soul. That's what it says. Your hearts can be filled with the word of God, your eyes fixed and continually gazed on the word of God, and that your tongue might be faithful in presenting the word of God. That's so vital. That's so, so vital. Then go over to chapter 31 again. Gets a bit more interesting now. It says, gather the people together, men, women, and children, and a stranger that is within thy gate. Why? That they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God. The stranger. Everyone knows strangers. Well, you don't. If they're strangers, you don't know them. But you've seen them walking about. Your neighbor. Two doors down, three doors down, they're stranger to you, but they're not really, because you know they live there. God brings strangers into our path every single day. Young people, older people, strangers. And I'm often reminded how we're not reminded to but entertaining angels unawares. I often think, imagine the Lord brought a stranger by my path to test me if I'm going to witness to them. I know. That's what we do, we just grunt. Just shout at you. I'm sometimes afraid of saying something. I shout at you. Strangers come across your path, and I believe we have that responsibility to try and win them and to try and witness for them. Do you see, when you do it, you'll have a wee buzz in your heart and you'll enjoy it, because the Lord will help you and he will bless you. See, the blessing of God is something we want to experience as often as we possibly can. Look at verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 31, that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land. That their children which have not known anything. How much of the Bible do children and young people know today? Is this not applicable 5,000-6,000 years later, whatever it is? Moses was saying there's children here, young people here, men and women, who don't know anything about God's law or God's word. One of the workers in Belfast was asking children, tell me what you know about Jesus Christ. And the only thing they could relate to was King William. And that was a connection. Is he something to do with King William? Didn't know anything about him. And I wonder today, if you go into the streets, beyond the surface, how much do people really know about God's law, about the word of God? And really, they might not even know anything. Yet we have known so much. We've heard thousands and thousands of sermons just to make us spiritual giants. And yet we've been selfish because we're not taking it out to all these people. Taking it out to them. And I think that's something we have to really think about. Turn over to Psalm. Right in the middle, you could look at all the Psalms. Just Psalm 78 is another prime example. Psalm 78, Whenever we have the word of God tonight, it says in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works. When you've got God's love in your heart, salvation in your soul, we must not hide it from the rising generation. Just look at tonight, this weather's passed wild. Can you not see God's handiwork? How does God speak to people? He speaks to them through creation. He speaks to them through Christians. He speaks to them through circumstances. Whenever a child's born, I was studying this one time. So most people think about God when a child is born because they're just, wow, surpassed. Even the hardest of men are broken at the thought of a wee baby perfectly created in God's image. On a death, people think about God. Different circumstances in life make people think about God. But most time people don't think because everything's okay. Of course, they blame God a lot when things go wrong. But I'm talking about actually thinking about God. But read there in we just read verse 4. We must not hide it. Verse 78, verse 6, a challenge for us all tonight. Psalm 78, verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. God sent tonight, after everyone gathered, who will arise and declare them to the young people, the children, and the people all around us. Why? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Verse 78, might not be as our fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Do we live in that generation today? A stubborn, rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and his spirit was not steadfast with God. Or tonight, are we going to be like the children of Ephraim? Do you know what they've done? It says in verse 9, they being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Tonight we've got the word of God. We've got the protection of fellowship and church. And the battle's out there through that door. But we're turning back and we're walking away from it. That's a challenge. Who's going to rise up and take the battle? We've got the word of God. We're armed. We've got our bows. But yet we're turning back. I love that course. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Young people today are seeking for answers. They want to hear. They're willing to listen. And they're waiting for someone to come to them. Are you going to take it to them? What a challenge that'll be. See, Proverbs 22 verse 6 speaks about Christian parents and training up a child in the way she did go. That's my experience. I believe that's why I'm not in the dungle tonight. Because I was brought up and trained up in the way she did go. And I thank my parents for that. But millions of people don't have that pleasure and that experience. But they still have to be reached. Matthew 18, just a couple in the New Testament. Everyone must become like little children because Christ said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So young people need to become like little children. Little children, people say to me, how come so many children get saved? I've done missions recently. I done one in Limavady a couple of weeks ago. And normally they've got 11 to 15 children at their weekly meeting. The first night on the bus, there was 11 regulars come in, and there was 59 strangers come in cars, most of them Roman Catholics. As a result of that mission, all the workers, there was about over 20 children got saved at that mission. Why? Because children heard the gospel. They realized how big God is, how small they are, and God loved them so much that Jesus died on the cross to take away their sin. And in simple childlike faith, they grasped that. And every week the work just went right up. Children were coming hungry with their wee square Bibles, hearing more about God. Why? Because they'd never heard. They'd never heard. We reached a generation today. 10 years ago they weren't even born. 5 years ago they were only wee infants. And now they're ripe and ready for plucking. But the message needs to be taken to them. That's why multitudes of children will get saved, because they just want God in their lives. The older people get, the harder they become. I sat round a hospital one time with a man. He was so hard and so angry about God, but so angry. And I just thought, a 10-year-old is just so open and so soft. And that man almost did. He's so hard. So hard. That's why you must reach him. What did Paul say? The Lord Jesus commanded to the disciples, he said, go into all the world compel them to come in or preach the gospel to every creature. Let me finish with Acts chapter 26. What did Paul do? The great example of one of the greatest missionaries ever. He said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great. He wasted no time. If the people wanted to hear, he spoke to them. If they didn't, he moved somewhere else. Old people, young people, big people, small people, all sorts of people Paul spoke to. When he met with Lydia, who was there, women and children, and he spoke to them, Lydia got converted, the Philippian jailer, when he got converted, so did his family, his children as well. Many people got converted. See, we must start with the present generation in order to reach that rising generation. And we must not give up. It's so easy to give up, so easy to get slack, but I urge you tonight to keep going on for God. We live in a day of despondency, deflation, and people are throwing in the towel every single week. Christian people, ministers in the Free Presbyterian Church are throwing in the towel. It's happening in 2010. Workers are just giving up as if God's no longer important. Young people don't. I have done the CEF training with 10 years ago, and Henry Berry said these words, when you catch the vision, don't lose the vision. And those words stuck with me. When you get a vision of God, don't lose that vision. When you get a vision of souls, don't lose that vision. You see that wee flame in your heart when you get saved, remember? You're bouncing with joy. You couldn't wait the next day. That's the wee flame we need to get rekindled in our hearts. And pray that that'll never, ever burn out or blow out. We need to get that fueled and going. Children need the Lord. Young people need the Lord. We all need the Lord. That is the message. Children and young people need the Lord. We all need Him. He's going to be with us all the way. And I urge you tonight to get going wherever you're at in your Christian life. Restock, refuel, and keep marching on for God. Don't be despondent of all the legislation, the red tape, and I was even thinking of doing children's meetings. So we organise a children's meeting. I can't take my wife in the car to lift children because it's wrong. Government's going to say, well, your husband and wife. So I go and take somebody else's wife and the church goes, he's with your man's wife. So I'm like, so you can't win. He just can't win. So what do? Phone the Ulster bus and let them sort it out. It's so easy for people. Workers are almost stopping their meetings because they cannot get the volunteers. The devil is having a field day. And see, when you get out of the mode of doing something for God, life becomes so easy. And the devil wins. The devil must never, ever have the victory in our lives. I urge you to march on, persevere on for God, and keep going on. I just read what I was supposed to speak on. I think of something different. Sorry. Only joking. Okay, oh dear. Folks, time's up. Let me just commit you all to the Lord in prayer tonight. Let's all do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this opportunity of coming here tonight just to share a little bit of the challenges that face young people today. And Father, we thank you for this great band who come here monthly, Lord, at this meeting in their churches on the Lord's Day. And Father, wherever they are in their hearts, we pray, Lord, you'll meet them at every point of their need. And Father, we do pray for the rising generation in the day and age in which we live right across this country. And Father, we pray that you'll really revive the hearts of every one of your children. And Lord, will you sweep right through this generation and will win many for the lost. Young people tonight are crying for help. They're crying for someone to come and help them. We know Christ is the only answer. But Lord, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they know without someone to reach them? Father, will you really burden us tonight to do something more for God? While you've given us the health and the energy and youth on our side, help us to do it before it's too late. Bless us everyone tonight, even the cup of tea or juice, refreshment provided. Bless them to our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.